All right, Fritz Bergen here, bloodandfaith.com. I want to talk to you about the Antichrist. The Antichrist. Bible has a lot to say about the Antichrist, or the spirit of the Antichrist, or an Antichrist, or many Antichrists. And I felt it was useful to explore that a little more in particular, mostly because I've started talking about the Antichrist myself. Now, to start off with, I have no intention of changing your eschatology. I have no interest or desire to change what you believe about the Antichrist. Some people believe that a personal, physical, manifested Antichrist will show up any day as a great world leader and force everybody to bow down and worship him. And that's fine. I'm not here to disabuse you of that. In fact, I can make the argument for a physical incarnation of an Antichrist. The first biblical model of an Antichrist after the flood, in my opinion, is Nimrod. Man lived for 4 or 5 centuries, if you judge by the life of his contemporaries, and he was the founder of Babel. All right, one world government. Babel is one world government, and this is why I rail against Babel. The Bible talks about Babylon the Great. It goes right back to the old Babel. But it's hard to reach Christians, evangelical Christians, when they're not even sure if a worldwide flood occurred. So so I don't know. I don't know. I don't know where people are coming from on that one. So there is a case for it. The other case for that is there's a yearning for a union between Satan and mankind. A biological union. It's my opinion, this is pure opinion, Fritz's opinion, that Satan did not complete his seduction of Eve. It's my opinion that Satan had big plans for him and Eve, and he did not complete the seduction. Later on, we see another example of that in Genesis chapter 6, where the watchers, the fallen ones, come down and they mate with females and create a new race of beings. The mighty one of old, the mighty man of old. And God's response for that is, okay, I'm going to wipe you out. I'm going to blot you out from the face of the earth. And he blotted that race out and saved Noah, who had a pure bloodline, a righteous bloodline, a whole bloodline, a bloodline of integrity that was not polluted by the DNA of these fallen angelic beings. And therefore, it was Noah and his 3 sons that come and populate the earth afterwards. Then, of course, we have the example of Nimrod, who was a mighty hunter in the face of God, resisted God, built a one-world government in defiance of the Almighty God when he told mankind to spread out. And the other example of an incarnation is, of course, Jesus Christ himself. God himself incarnated himself as a man and walked among us. So there are good reasons. And then we can go to the Holy Scriptures. Well, let's see. Let's pick one out. It talks about the man of sin. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the man of sin. And Paul is writing and he says, don't worry, the man of sin will not be revealed until the great apostasy, the great falling away. So on one hand, I can make the case that yes, indeed, there could be, or there is, or there will be, a physical manifestation of an Antichrist person. So if that's your position, that's fine. But what I would like you to consider is that we should be paying more attention to the spirit of the Antichrist than trying to figure out how to respell some dude's name and make it come up as 666. That's what I'm asking you to contemplate. Why? Because this is what John did. Okay, John wrote 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 4, and the book of Revelation. And he spoke a lot about the spirit of the Antichrist. He talked about the Antichrist and the spirit of the Antichrist. And so those are very important things. And he wrote 2,000 years ago. Let's just call it 2,000 years ago. So I thought it would be useful to go over his opinion on these things. First of all, we go to 1 John chapter 2, verses 22 and 23. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? It's not enough to say that, yeah, Jesus was a dude. He lived a long time ago and he was a good teacher. No, he's the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the anointed one of God. He's in the image of God. He's born of God. And he was conceived of by the Holy Spirit in the womb of a virgin woman. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist. So you want to know who the Antichrist is. It's him who denies that Jesus is the Christ. That's the Antichrist. In a nutshell, that's the, who's the Antichrist? It's the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Now, who is the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? The biblical answer to that is the leadership of the Jews. It's the leadership of Judaism. It's the Pharisees. It's Judaism. In that sense, to the extent that Jews follow Judaism, it's the Jews. Okay, let's read this. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? Judaism denies that Jesus is the Christ. So does Islam. So does atheism. Going on. This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Right? You want to know who the Antichrist is? Those that deny that Jesus Christ and the Father are one. Those that deny that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ, that deny his resurrection from the dead, deny that, he is God in the flesh. That's the Antichrist. That's the simple answer. That's the simple answer right there. John doesn't make it complicated. I think we try to make it more complicated than it is. Going on, 1 John chapter 2, verse 23. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. All right? Any follower of Judaism denies the Son. Many who claim to be Christians deny the Son. And I've heard them. I've listened to them. I've read them. Jesus was a great teacher. Jesus was a man of mercy. Jesus healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out devils, you know, multiplied the loaves of bread. But when it really comes down to it, as far as they're concerned, he's just a man. He was just a man. All right, born of Joseph and Mary, lived a good life, died. And, you know, whether he rose from the dead or not, they don't need to really talk about that. Whether he was born of a virgin, we're not going to really get into that. And whether he's the exclusive way to the Father, they certainly won't touch that. They won't touch that. Oh, no, because the Jews are God's chosen people, they'll say. Well, who was the original Antichrist at the time of Christ? I covered this a lot in the last couple of days my podcast. The original Antichrist were the people that murdered Jesus Christ and rejected Jesus Christ. And I know some people are going to say, oh, Fritz, you're insane. You're inspired by the devil. I would remind you that that's exactly what they said of Jesus Christ. Go read the Gospel according to St. John. They said, are we not right when we say to you that you're insane and have a demon? This is what the leadership of the Jews said to Jesus Christ. Are we not right in saying that you're insane and have a demon? There's the original Antichrist right there. All right. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Children, it is the last hour. All right, I've said this before. You want to know when the last days are? The last days have been ever since the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Last days have been, for 2,000 years, it's been the last days. Don't get all flustered that he's taken 2,000 years to show up. He comes when he comes. He's on his own timing. I don't know what his timing is. The Bible says no man knows the hour of the day. People say, oh, I know the season. Well, I will also tell you this. Jesus Christ said repeatedly, I come as a thief, man. I come as a thief. I come when you don't expect it. You know, that's all I can say. And as somebody that studied a lot of history, imagine you're living in the year 1000 and you're talking about the millennial reign of Christ and you're going, well, Christ has risen from the dead. He had all power and authority now. It's been 1,000 years. Surely he's coming back now. Children, it's the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now, many antichrists have appeared. For this we know it's the last hour. All right? Twice, the same verse, he says it's the last hour. How does he correspond that? Because there's not only the Antichrist is here, but there's many Antichrist. You've heard that Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have appeared. If John is concerned about this 2,000 years ago, y'all ought to be concerned about it today. And let's go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. Other versions just say, this is the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it's already in the world. All right, so if I talk to your average evangelical today, they would say, well, we don't exactly know who the Antichrist Christ is yet. He's probably alive. He's probably already been born. He's probably somewhere in the world. Fine. It is my opinion that we ought to be focusing on the spirit of the Antichrist and not trying to guess where this real Antichrist is. Who is the Antichrist? Those that deny the Father and the Son. You've got this whole movement in evangelical Christianity to call, God, I don't even like to say this, the followers of the Antichrist, God's chosen. If you're a religious Jew and you're following Judaism, or an atheist for that matter, and you deny the Father and the Son, that's the Antichrist. That's Antichrist. It's funny how the church can get it so backwards and get it so twisted, so turned around, that somehow Antichrist is God's chosen people. There was no question 2,000 years ago who the Antichrist was. It was those that murdered Jesus Christ. Paul was part of that. Saul was part of that. He changed his name to Paul. Saul was part of that. He thought he was doing God's duty by murdering Christians. And, of course, Jesus Christ talked about that. So the day is coming soon when people who kill you will think they're doing an honor to God. If that was true 2,000 years ago, it's true today. Absolutely true today. 2 Thessalonians. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter, as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Verse 3, let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself to be God. All right, there's a lot there. But first of all, he says, before he comes, there's going to be the apostasy, the great falling away. It's my contention that the great falling away occurred about 2 or 3 centuries ago. It began to occur 2 or 3 centuries ago with the rise of atheism. Where did atheism arise? In the heart of Christendom. Atheism didn't arise in South America. It didn't arise in Asia. It didn't arise in Africa. It arose in the heart of Christendom. Many times we talk about the Enlightenment thinkers. Well, the Enlightenment thinkers later give birth to the Marxist, Karl Marx, Engels, and all of their disciples and all of their children, which, you know, basically run the universities today. That belief in evolution, belief that mankind is self-existing. This is, of course, Satan's dream. This is Satan's dream. Satan considers himself self-existing, and he has no requirement to answer to the Almighty God. He wants to enjoy God's creation, but not be accountable to the Creator. So is fallen man. So in a sense, fallen man has made a pact with Satan to disavow any responsibility to the Creator, but simply say, hey, we are self-evolving. We're responsible to nobody but ourselves. And God is just a figment of our own imagination. So Satan has made that union already with fallen mankind, as Nimrod did back in the Tower of Babel, City of Babel. Great unified global empire in the face of it, resisting God. God said, nope, you're going to do what I told you to do. He split up mankind into many different races, and he reinforced that by changing the languages. So a language would correspond to a race, and of course it, you know, evolved, devolved, whatever, from there. So the apostasy is already, if I argue that the apostasy has already come, where is this physical manifestation of man? Well, I don't know, maybe it's still coming, but I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about the spirit of the Antichrist. But let's look at some of the attributes of this Antichrist. The man of lawlessness, son of destruction, opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God. Okay, displaying himself to be God. Now, people are looking for a man to show up and go sit in a church somewhere and say, hey, I'm God. What I'm telling you is man has already done that. Man has already spoken those boastful words, those prideful words, those arrogant words against the Most High God and said, you don't even exist, God. You don't even exist. We are self-existing, responsible to ourselves, and now we are going to self-direct our own evolution. This beast is already here. This man is already here. This spirit is already here in full force, sitting himself in the temple. What's the temple of God? Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Hey, and they just say, look, there's no God. We invented God. We're the inventors of God. God's not the inventor of us. How do you get more arrogant than that? That's been going on for 3 centuries now, more or less. Remember, French Revolution, what do? They go into Notre Dame, the Cathedral of Notre Dame, and they say, they desecrated the altar, utterly desecrated the altar, blasphemed, and said, this is no longer a Christian church, it's the temple of reason. So this has already happened. Now, am I saying that specific instance in France in, 1789, 1790, was this event? No, but it's the same spirit. What I'm saying is the same spirit. So y'all are looking for the dude under the closet, out behind the barn, under a tree somewhere, trying to find a guy's name who you can rearrange the letters so he comes up 666. And I'm saying, it's all around you. It's all around you. You don't have to go look for it. It's right in front of your face. But we don't see it. We're not historically minded. Generally speaking, Americans are not historically minded. And I'm as devoted to the word as the next guy, for sure. But I also, by the grace of God, have got a huge background in history. And atheism arose in the heart of Christendom. This was the great apostasy. A big manifestation of that was the defilement of Notre Dame, the Church of Notre Dame. They turned it into the Temple of Reason, defiled it. And said, this is now the Temple of Reason. And they went out and they waged civil war against Christians in France. Put them to the pitchfork. Mass slaughter of Christians. Displaying himself as God. Okay, so there you go. There's your man of sin. There's your man of sin. There's your man of lawlessness. Now, is this a physical dude? Well, I'm not going to dissuade you that it isn't. But what I'm asking you to do is focus on the spirit of the Antichrist that's been there and ruling for a long time. All right, you cannot understand. Now we got to go to Daniel and we have to go to Revelation. You cannot understand world history and the trajectory of the world or even this quote-unquote man of sin without understanding Daniel. And Daniel and the book of Revelation are tied at the hip, deeply tied together. See if I can pull this guy up. We're going to go to Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. Okay, it talks about he will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One, and he will intend to make alterations in times and in law, and they will be given into his hand for time, times, and half a time. But the court will sit for judgment, and his dominion will be taken away, annihilated, and destroyed forever. Okay, all that's good news, but here's what happens next. Here's what happens next. Christians miss this. Christians think, oh, then God's going to come back, and, we're going to go float around on clouds and sing. I got a different vision for you. Here's what happens next. Then the sovereignty, the dominion, and the greatness of all the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the Highest One. It's going to be given to who? To the people of the saints of the Highest One. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominions will serve and obey him. Who's him? It's Jesus Christ. So here's this person, this man, this beast. It's actually a beast we're talking about in Daniel chapter 7. It's a beast. Over and over again in the Bible, especially Daniel and Revelation, these empires, these man-made empires, empires of mankind, are referred to as beasts. Daniel chapter 7 talks about the four beasts. I am inclined to say, hey, we got the fourth beast is running around right now. And does this not sound very much like the man of sin, the man of perdition, the man of lawlessness in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? Who exalts himself, he will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One, and he will intend to make alterations in times and laws. Remember when the French Revolution happened, they said it's the year of man, it's the year zero. We're in the year one now. Alteration of a time. This is not 1789, it's the year one of the year of man. This spirit's been around for a long time. And in Daniel chapter 7, it talks about beasts. Well, is it really a beast? That beast is a representation of a global empire, of a world empire, of an empire competing with other empires for global dominance. Talks about this empire fighting against three other beasts. And it certainly talks about this beast wearing down the saints of the Most High, just like the man of perdition in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Those angry, arrogant words, the arrogant words. Speaking against the Most High, wearing down the saints of the Most High God. Let's go back there again. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it won't come until the apostasy comes first. Okay, that comes with the rise of atheism in the heart of Europe, in the heart of Christendom. And then the law, the man of lawlessness, is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes a seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as to be God. Is this not the position of man, corporate man? Has not corporate man emerged in this great apostasy in the last 2 to 3 centuries? Has not man come forth and said, we invented God. God is an invention of our own minds. And now we sit in the seat of God. And now, here in 2022, we're talking self-directed evolution. Transhumanism. But we're going to modify your DNA. Some of us that are billionaires or trillionaires are going to live forever. The average poor person won't get that. They're just fodder. All right, let's go to Daniel chapter 8, verse 25. All right, and through his shrewdness he will cause deceit to succeed by his influence, and he will magnify himself in his heart, and he will destroy many while they're at ease. He will even oppose the prince of princes, but he will be broken without human agency. Now, what am I talking about? Let's talk about the goat. Daniel chapter 8 talks about a goat. Is this really a goat? Is this really a barnyard creature that we're talking about? No, it's an empire. It's an empire of man. Let's go to Daniel chapter 11, verse 36. And then we'll skip over to the Revelation. Then the king will do as he pleases. He will exalt and magnify himself above every god and will speak monstrous things against the God of gods. And he will prosper until the indignation is finished, for that which is decreed will be done. And it goes on. It's quite a description of him. And he ends up, of course, getting overthrown. But again, I think there's an argument to be made that you're looking at more than just you're looking for Danny or Joey or Stan. We're looking at global empires, which we are in the middle of one right now, and they're competing for dominance right now. There's you get this one empire of the so-called secular atheistic West that is doing its darndest to crush the Russians, to make sure they're subsumed by that empire. And so with that as background, let's go to the Revelation. Let's try Revelation. Oh, I don't know. How about Revelation 13? That's really a good place to start with the beasts. Dragon stood on the seashore, on the sand of the seashore. All right, who's the dragon? It's Satan. What's the seashore? What's the ocean? The oceans are the nations of the world. The oceans are the nations of the world. We're not talking about a Komodo dragon standing on the sands of Kona, Hawaii, or San Diego, for that matter. This is Satan standing on the seashore next to the nations emerging out of history. It says, "Then I saw a beast coming out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads." All right, again, the beast of Daniel, beast of Daniel chapter 7. The horns represent different kings, different powers. So obviously, at least in my opinion, I'm not looking for a funny-looking, deformed animal that crawls up out of the ocean. I'm looking for a global empire that emerges out of history. That's what I'm looking for. And I'm concerned more about the spirit of the Antichrist than this person. John was very concerned about this spirit of the Antichrist, which rules and reigns and will even wear down the saints of the Most High God. And 2 Thessalonians talks about the man of perdition, the man of sin, lawlessness, coming after the great falling away. First, the great apostasy has to happen first. Well, where does atheism arise in the world? It arises in the heart of Christendom. You've heard about the French atheistic thinkers and Enlightenment thinkers. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, what was true for 1,000 years is no longer true. And you go into these mighty cathedrals called universities, and you have these false priests and false prophets prophesying atheism. That's the arrogance that we see. All right, here's chapter, let's go to Revelation 13 verses, let's go to 4. "And they worship the dragon." They worship the dragon. Who's the dragon? Satan. Because he gave his authority to the beast. "And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, who is able to wage war against him? There was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies." Is this not corporate atheistic man today, led by the priests and the prophets of the secular cult in the universities, speaking these arrogant words? We're mere products of time and chance. And now that we've arisen from the muck, we will self-direct our own evolution. And we are the ones who created God in our image. God didn't create us in our image. We created God in our image. That's what atheistic man says. So I would suggest that you look at it for what it is. Be aware of the spirit of the Antichrist. And so many people say, well, who can fight the beast? Who can fight this beast? And because they say that, they worship the dragon, all right? And a lot of Christians will say, well, we can't, you know, it's not even our job to fight the beast. We'll just go along with it, and, you know, we have our little religion. And by that act, they worship the dragon. They don't even realize it. I'm just asking you to consider this. If this doesn't work for you, that's fine. Continuing on in Revelation, it talks about this beast, and it says that yet another beast comes out of the earth. And this is why I go back to Daniel chapter 7 that talks about these four beasts. If you want to understand the course of history, you got to understand Daniel 7 and tie it into the chapter 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. Another beast arises out of the earth. He performs signs and wonders. And it's to be given a mark on the right hand or the forehead, and he provides that no one will be able to buy or sell. Well, we're kind of there today, folks. We're kind of there today. I remember back in the 70s, there used to be movies on, you know, people getting some sort of stamp on their head or their forehead. We're kind of there where we can't buy or sell. Go ask the Canadian truckers. And with the technology being rolled out, it's just a matter of time. That's their whole goal, to lock every individual down to the person. Here's wisdom. "Let him who understands calculate the number of the beast and the number that is of a man." And his number is 666. Okay, here's wisdom. "Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast." The number of the beast. Well, the number of the beast, again, the beast is a world empire. The beast is a world system. And it goes on. "For the number is that of man." 6 is the number of man. I'm just throwing this out there. You don't have to run with it. Don't want to upset your eschatology. But if 6 is one man, 2 sixes is a man and a woman. What's 3 sixes? Corporate man? We've already seen that the beasts are it's a whole empire. And we've noted how these empires, especially the current one, with the fall of Christendom, the rise of atheism out of the heart of Christendom, mankind says, I'm a self-existing being, and I'm gonna direct my own evolution. Is that not the height of arrogance? So when I'm considering all these things, and you know, as you consider your eschatology, just try to incorporate these ideas in there. And what I fear is that people are they're focused on finding the dude out there, not aware that they're already bending the knee to the Antichrist at this very moment. There's a guy somewhere in Texas, a young preacher guy, and he was. I'll have to do another podcast about this. But anyway, he's going after the homosexuals. And oh my God, the world is on fire. The world's going to end because here's a preacher reading about about homosexuality from the Bible. And, you know, all the lesbians, their hair's on fire, man. The homosexuals, they're standing upside down and they're going nuts. And I see such a tendency in the church to redefine who Jesus Christ is and redefine who the Word of God is. And that's been the subject of the last several podcasts I've done. Keep Jesus Christ in a closet, tone him down a little bit, rebrand him, Jesus 2.0. A kinder, remember George Bush, a kinder, gentler conservatism? Well, it's the same thing. We're going to make a kinder, gentler Jesus Christ. And Christians will absolutely not do anything to offend the Antichrists. They're terrified of offending the Antichrists. And they don't mind at all offending Jesus Christ and the Word of Christ and the Word of God. They will walk all over the Word of God, left, right, and center. But oh my God, we don't dare offend the expressions of the spirit of the Antichrist, whether it's homosexuality or evolution, or the worship of an antichrist religion. Judaism is antichrist. Oh, but you can't say that. That's anti-Semitic. You've bowed the knee. I'm just telling you, you've already bowed the knee and you've worshipped the antichrist. Here's what I'm afraid of. We're already in the midst of it. We're already in the midst of it, guys. It's not coming. It's here. It's been here. And people have more fear of the antichrist than they do of Christ. And they would rather walk all over and defame the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, than to offend the Antichrist in the world today. Oh, I'm not like that guy. I'm not racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, or anti-Semitic. Oh, no, I'm a good Christian. What would Jesus do? The Spirit of Christ, the love of Christ. And they've invented a new religion. It's Judeo-Christianity. Judaism is Antichrist. I'm afraid we're there. I'm not happy about this, but I'm afraid we're there. And it terrifies me because, hey, if I'm just waking up to this, maybe this speaks to a few other you folks out there too. All right, that's it. Fritz Bergeron, bloodandfaith.com, out.